Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us. We're very glad to have you worship with us and extend a warm welcome to you. I want to encourage everybody to come back tonight. Brother Malcolm Parsley will be here. He is a missionary that we support in South Korea, and we had the opportunity to listen to him this past Friday, and Dick, remember, this is turned off, so we'll turn it back on when closing prayer. Friday night, we had an opportunity to get an update on the work that's going on in Korea and had a great discussion with him. Speaking of discussions, I thanked everybody this morning in Bible class. I love the comments. Need to reiterate, it is your class, and I'm just kind of the monkey that's up here leading the circus. So, but it's your class and great comments and very, very interesting and thought-provoking. Have a couple of prayers. I think that's okay, Kurt. Have a couple of prayer requests. Marion requests prayers for their granddaughter, Courtney, who woke up this morning throwing up and complaining of a bad headache. So we need to remember a little Courtney, that stuff's going around right now and bad enough for us, but poor little kids with it. I feel so bad for them. And our sister, Crystal Barksdale, is requesting prayers for her husband, Asher, and the in-laws. They're going to be traveling to and from California. His father is relocating here to the Las Vegas area, and she's requesting prayers not only for safe travels to and from California, but that he will find a new home, and prayers for his health. So before we get into our lesson, let's go ahead and go to God in prayer, and then we will continue with our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you, first and foremost, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We want our prayers to be heard by you and be pleasing to you. Dear God, we come right now on behalf of the Barksdales that Asher has safe travels going to and from California, and that his father will be able to relocate here and find a suitable home, and that you'll bless him with better health. Dear God, that is something that we all ask for, better health, not so much for us, but so that we can serve you better. Dear God, we also ask that you be with little Courtney, who's sick today. We hope that this will pass soon and that she will be feeling better soon. We pray on behalf of everybody in our congregation right now. Every one of us have concerns, private fears, woes, things that we're rejoicing over, and that be with each one of us and be with our walk with you. Dear God, continue to be with us in our worship to you. We hope that everything that has and will be done is done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Not just because I offered a prayer, but you can tell a lot about a person through their prayer. And we're going to look at a prayer by Paul, the Apostle Paul, today. And I thank Puka for, I think this is the longest passage we ever had read for a scripture reading. And he did that very well and kind of gave us a preview of what our lesson is going to be based on. Paul outlined a prayer of his and told the Ephesians some of the things that he prays for them over in Ephesians 3. And I'd like to read that again before we break that down into the individual verses. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Short passage, a relatively short prayer, but very powerful prayer by the Apostle Paul. Starts off in verse 14, "For this reason." And when you see "for this reason," you got to go back a little bit. And earlier in the chapter, Paul had been talking about how the kingdom, the church, is spiritual. That it's not physical. That was something that even the followers of Jesus had a little mix up in, thinking that it was going to be an earthly kingdom, and the kingdom, which is the church, is spiritual, and that it is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. He's reaffirming to the Ephesians, it's not just Jews. In verse 14, he continues and say, "I bow my knees, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul teaches, just a little side note here, about prayer, that we pray to God the Father. That when we go to God in prayer, it's not as powerful as Jesus is. We're not praying to Jesus. Jesus is our intermediary to get to the Father. Our prayers are to God the Creator, not Mary, not angels. I have known religious people that in all good feelings, they will go in prayer to angels. They're selling themselves short. Why go to the angels when you go to God? Paul teaches, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 15, "from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I love how he uses that term family. How many times is the church, the kingdom, related to a family? That closeness of a family. We're together. And that whole family is Christians. And they are known by God, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God knows them all. God knows them. Have you ever had maybe you're in a big family, and some of the relatives, grandma or grandpa, sometimes forgets all the names of the grandkids. You know, maybe they know them, but they just get mixed up on the names. God doesn't. God knows us. And I love that concept that we are a family. Families don't always agree on every issue. They should get along. But families don't always agree. They always agree to the core tenets of what that family believes. And they are members of that family. They're proud of being in that family. Oh yeah, you've got brothers and sisters that might squabble once in a while. You got that crazy uncle that you just kind of put up with, you know, but you're a family. And you love each other because you're a family. In Acts 11:26, it reads, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." We were studying with June the other day, and he was asking a very sincere, very good question. What kind of Christians are you? Christians. Just Christians. The name says it. We follow in the steps of Christ. Because as a new babe in Christ, you look out in the world and you see so many different people professing Christianity. But they're not following in the footsteps of Christ. And here the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch. And going back to that last slide, that from the whole family in heaven and earth is named, those followers of and the people in that family, we are Christians. And that's what makes us family. Age, race, gender does not matter. We're Christians. Isaiah 49, verse 5, "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant." God knew us before we were even born. Before we were even born, God knew us and loved us. In Galatians 4, verse 9, Paul will also tell the Galatians, he says, "But now after you have known God," and that's important, to know God, but he qualifies it, he goes, "or rather are known by God." How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? The Galatians were having a problem wanting to return to the practice of Judaism after they had become Christians. But Paul says it here, after you've known God, let me correct myself, after or rather known by God. God knows us. Why would anybody want to leave that? And God does know us. Goes on to say in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Not physically. We all have a measure of physical strength, but that decays with time. Boy, that's kind of a rude awakening to figure that one out. That as you get older, you start diminishing that physical body. To realize you're not able to do and go and lift and like you used to. You get weaker with time, but not the spiritual inner man. we theoretically can get stronger and stronger and stronger all the time. That inner man. And Paul is saying, he's praying that you be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, spiritually, not physically. In Ephesians 6, Paul, just in a couple of verses, he explains this spiritual versus physical strength. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If it was, I'm good to go. I was a wrestler. I'll wrestle you. Get you in a hammerlock and give you a few extracurriculars, and you know, that's fine. But it's not against flesh and blood we're wrestling against, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age." And there's plenty of that out there. "Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And he goes on to say in this chapter how we should put on the spiritual armor of God. The spiritual armor. This is not a fight. This is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And Paul's praying for your spiritual strength, that you'll have might in him, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. There's a big difference in claiming to know Christ and having him in you. When Christ dwells in you, he makes your decisions in your life are already made. We're not just professing to be a Christian, we're living it. And that's what having Christ in you means, that it's in you and you're letting that out. We just don't go through the motions. We just don't show up at worship and check a box. Made it here, check. Took communion, check. Good to go. I'll see you next week. Flip that switch off and live however you want. Christ is in us. And that's what Paul is praying for, that Christ is in us, that we're not just going through those motions, that we're not just loosely calling ourselves a Christian, but we're living it. It's in us. Colossians 3:16, Paul will tell the Colossians, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Paul is wanting that, not only Christ in us, but his word living in us. And that word only gets there through our efforts and study. And he wants it to be in us. Matthew 15:8, Jesus says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." These are people going through the motions right there. People that don't have Jesus living in them. Verse 18 explains the why, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Is there anything in that we comprehend that is left out? Nothing. Comprehend means to know, to truly understand. To understand it, not just be told something. I understand the words. I can listen to a math teacher explain about some algebraic equation, and it's going over my head. I'm not comprehending it. Paul's saying that you may be able to comprehend all the dimensions of Christ's love. Not everybody understands that. There's a lot of people that understand that there was a Jesus, that he was a good teacher, but they don't necessarily believe that he was resurrected. They don't believe, they fall short that he was God's son. They don't comprehend that. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It passes knowledge. I understand the love of Jesus. I get it. How do you explain that to somebody? You can't explain that to somebody. They either have it, they don't understand it if they don't have it. The fact that Jesus sacrificed himself for us, he taught us. He gave himself totally. Totally. He emptied himself for us. And it passes knowledge. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the foolishness of God. The world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand why somebody would be a sacrifice for other people. That's ridiculous. How does one guy sacrifice for everybody else? How does being baptized wash away our sins? That water's dirty. Our water's not. Kirk keeps good care of it. But somebody that's baptized maybe in a muddy river cleanses our sins. You can't explain that to the world. You try to teach them, you show them the Bible, and when they understand it, they get it. But a lot of times the world doesn't get that. And he starts closing his prayer now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There's a lot of people that are pretty good at asking God for things. They got it down pat. They got a whole list. God, give me this, give me this, give me this, do this for me. More than exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can come up with. He knows what we need according to the power that works in us. That power is that Spirit. The power is Jesus dwelling in us. That power is, as he prayed, for the Word of Christ to dwell in us. When we've got that, ability to be given exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask. Not physically, spiritually. James said, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with evil motives, that you may spend it on your earthly desires. We're not going to be asking for a new car, this, that, blah, 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 blah. I could ask all day long for that stuff. Sincerely. God's not interested in that. He's interested in the spiritual. And he closes out, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God gets that glory. He started the prayer off going to God in prayer, and he's praising God in his prayer. And he ends it with a praise. You know, God gets all the glory. We look out in the natural world, the beautiful sunrise, the mountains, a blade of grass, a flower, our bodies. How can you look at our bodies healing, our bodies, what it's capable of doing, and think that there's not a God? Look at a newborn baby, and there's no God. The fact you look at Jesus, the Son of God, sacrificing himself for us, and it goes for the church. We give him glory by being sound. A lot of people will give praise to God, but then don't do the things. Oh, I love Jesus, but I'm going to live my life for myself. Oh, I love God, I'm not going to do any of his commands. But oh, I love God. We give him glory by being sound in doctrine, by being obedient, by loving the saints, our family, and by growing. Not staying where we're at, but growing in strength and faith. It applied to the Ephesians then, and it applies to us, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give God the glory, whatever it is you do. Philippians 4, verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Seems Paul very rarely comes up with a message just one time. Seems like lots of people needed it. Says almost the same thing to the Philippians. We've seen a short passage of a prayer that Paul had, not only for the Ephesians, but for us today too. The lesson is yours. As we go into this new week, let us maybe reread this, use it in our daily devotionals, be strengthened, encouraged by it. If there's anybody that needs to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you have been studying and need to be baptized, we can accommodate you. Some of you may be, some of our visitors may be looking for a church home. Give us a second chance. Give us a second look. We would love to have you in worship with you. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward, let your needs be known. We'll address those needs as Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.